The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker tov, shavuot tov, chodesh tov. Yeah, lots of stuff to talk about, lots of interesting things left over from last week, and of course, new events of this week. Coronavirus, apparently two Israelis are under investigation for possible infection with the coronavirus. One, a person who returned from China not so long ago, and another, a Chinese worker in the south of Israel. So a little bit of tension on the medical front as well with regard to that. And no word yet as to whether they do or not have this virus, but obviously they've been isolated investigations are ongoing to try to ensure that they're properly treated. And of course, if it does turn out to be the coronavirus, there will be some sort of action taken in order to try to track down people who might have come into contact with them. So a little bit of tension at the moment where that's concerned.
It wouldn't be a surprise. The way people travel, it certainly can be expected that many countries will at least have some form of exposure to it. We've of course been talking this morning around about the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. We've just spoken to somebody in Krakow. Tell us what's happening in Israel.
Well, I mean, obviously the focus was last week on the events on Thursday when all of the world leaders were here. And so that's really, what's happening today. Very, very little indeed. But there are, some interesting snippets that have kind of, been left over from last week's visit. And some of the interesting things that happened, of course, Russian President Putin did indeed meet with Naama Isakhar's mother. It was quite a well-publicized event. There was a lot of focus on it. It seemed as if, though, the Russian president has some intention to take action on this front. We spoke about this last week. He wouldn't have just met her without having some intention. There were some interesting newspaper articles which said he had that look on his face like he was really taking Prime Minister Netanyahu for a long ride on this one, that he's going to get his justice.
His money's
rewards.
Worth, yeah.
Exactly. This is not going to be a free ride at all. So we will, of course, be watching events in the coming weeks to see if anything new arises on that front. Of course, French President Emmanuel Macron was in the news for good and not so good things. He had that incident in the Old City. But there was one thing that really fascinated me. He met with Kahol Levan's Yair Lapid, and President Macron asked Yair Lapid how he and Benny Gantz know each other. And the answer was the most unexpected answer I could ever have imagined. Yair Lapid answered him. He said, we've known each other for a long time, and our families have known each other for a long time. He said, my father and Benny's mother were in the ghetto together.
What?
That was the answer that he
gave.
That was his answer.
Wow.
My father, which is Tommy Lapid, and Benny Gantz's mother were in the ghetto together.
Incredible.
Fascinating, fascinating answer, and just shows how deep some of these ties go and how deep some of these links go. But that was just the most unexpected thing that I could ever have imagined. Of course, the most critical thing for this week, which fell out of the events of last week, is of course the invitation that U.S. Vice President Mike Pence issued to both Prime Minister Netanyahu and to Kahol Levan Benny Gantz to pop over to Washington to hear about the peace plan. And of course, that's where we're at right now, where both of those leaders are in Washington today to meet with President Trump separately, mind you, separately. They won't be meeting together.
That's interesting.
And Benny Gantz initially, we understand, was minded to reject the invitation. And the news that was being carried was that he would not travel, while, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu couldn't wait to get on the plane. He was on his way almost before the invitation was issued.
Yeah, he likes a good international flight, does Netanyahu?
He does, yeah. And, of course, I don't think that Sarah had been anywhere for a while, so she was eager to travel as well. Apparently, they both left yesterday on that official flight to Washington. Benny Gantz traveled separately with some of his people, a small a group via Zurich, we're told. He took a scheduled flight that went via Zurich and onward to Washington. He will have the first meeting with President Trump today before Prime Minister Netanyahu. And Benny Gantz has said that he will be returning immediately after the meeting back to Israel in order to participate in the hearings that will be taking place this week around the immunity application that Prime Minister Netanyahu has made to the Knesset. So Benny Gantz wants to be back in Israel for those events, and he will meet with President Trump first. And as I say, Gantz was a little reluctant to meet, but ultimately decided it was probably the right thing to do. And it's going to be fascinating to try to understand how different the two meetings will be, what President Trump will say to each of them, how he will present things to each of them. Nikki Haley's been in Israel, and there was an interview that was conducted on TV with her. Of course, she's the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And there was a specific question to her about the timing of all of this activity. Why now? What's the big deal about the timing? And she was very cautious to kind of tread between the raindrops by saying, you know, that this has been something that's ongoing for such a long time, and that eventually it's come to the point now where, you know, it's been very well thought through and very well developed, and the timing is of no significance other than the fact that this is just the culmination of many years of work that's gone in, you know, by Jason Greenblatt and Jared Kushner and others who've been involved, U.S. Ambassador to Israel as well. And he's apparently also been very involved in this work, David Friedman. And so this is the culmination of the work, and it seems, you know, that now that the work has effectively been completed, that it's a good time to present it. But that invitation by Mike Pence was issued quite quickly last week on Thursday, and already on Monday, the two of them are in Washington. So it's been very, very rapid indeed. And of course, from the Palestinian side, lots and lots of negative comments. The King of Jordan, King Abdullah, has already come out rejecting the peace plan before we even really know what it is.
I was just going to say, does anybody actually really know what's in it? You know, how they're rejecting something they haven't really seen.
There's been quite a lot of speculation that I've read about what is potentially in this peace plan. And, you know, there was talk about most of Jerusalem effectively going to the Israeli side, with perhaps some elements of Jerusalem, some of perhaps of the outlying suburbs, being earmarked as a potential capital for a future Palestinian state. There's been talk about much of Area C being annexed by Israel, effectively, according to this article that I read, amounts to something like 30% of the West Bank being effectively annexed by Israel, along with the entire Jordan Valley. Israel, on its part, will have to evacuate some of what the paper called illegal outposts and give Palestinians land in exchange for the annexed areas, and that a demilitarized Palestinian state would then be formed on the 70% that remains, and that Gaza would also have to be demilitarized, and that Israel would effectively have military action within the Palestinian state. That's kind of, those are the snippets that I've read about what people suggest is in this peace plan. And of course, there is an article which I've also read which says the peace plan has been devised in order to encourage the Palestinians to reject it, which is an interesting way of looking at things, because you know, we already know that there is a lot of antagonism from the Palestinian side towards the Trump administration and towards this whole peace plan initiative at all. And it's interesting that no Palestinian representatives have been invited to Washington for them to view this peace plan, which obviously is, you know, a coming together of two parties. And Nikki Haley in her interview was saying really that the U.S. is playing a broker here, and that the U.S. can't force upon either party what they don't want or they don't desire. And that, you know, she feels that the peace plan has been devised in such a way that it is going to be acceptable to both of the parties. So I'm not sure how to interpret a lot of this, but that it's going to be interesting nevertheless to see in the first instance what the respective reactions will be from the Gantz side as well as from the Netanyahu side. Of course, Netanyahu has been playing it up very substantially. You know, this is a very supportive government of Israel, and that President Trump has been trying to do whatever he can to support Israel. And so he's really been playing up the possibility of what this peace plan may involve. But of course, what is also interesting for me is that there's been a lot of talk about annexing the Jordan Valley just in recent months. And one has to imagine that that comes from somewhere. You know, that wasn't an agenda item, let's say, 6 months or a year ago. All of a sudden, over the last few months, the annexation of the Jordan Valley has become an agenda item, both from the Kahol Lavan side as well as the Likud side. And one has to infer from that that it's come from somewhere, and I can only imagine that it's potentially come from a suggestion within this peace plan that the Jordan Valley will be annexed by Israel. That's my only, you know, my speculation. I don't know for sure, but that's my speculation. So it's going to be fascinating to see how things pan out later today.
And of course, in the U.S. itself, you've got some very strange things happening. That incident over the weekend where a Palestinian child drowned. Some of the Palestinian media were quick to claim that Israel had kidnapped and killed the child. Of course, that was completely bogus. But Tlaib already retweeting that as though it was fact, and without verifying it. And she's, of course, a member of the U.S. government. So I can't imagine that this is going to be an easy task.
It's not going to be an easy task. And, of course, the death of that Palestinian child in the Jerusalem area is very, very tragic indeed. Clearly wasn't kidnapped and taken by any sinister authorities, but unfortunately drowned in a ditch of water that was apparently near the child's house. And of course, the residents of that neighborhood near Beit Hanina in East Jerusalem have come out accusing the Jerusalem municipality of neglecting their area, and the fact that that ditch shouldn't have been allowed to fill with water and, you know, to be unattended by the municipality. And of course, a lot of fingers being pointed against the Israeli authorities, even though, of course, the kidnapping story was not justified at all. But nevertheless, still a lot of anger coming out of the Arab residents of East Jerusalem, claiming that, you know, they've been neglected by the Jerusalem municipality, and that's how this child was allowed to drown in that ditch. So a very, very tragic story, and perhaps the Jerusalem municipality does need to have a look to see what needs to be done. But, you know, there are also parents to children who need to, you know, supervise their children. So I think that, you know, the blame, we should be cautious about attributing blame too quickly in the aftermath of this tragedy.
Tensions have increased again along the Gaza border in recent days. What are the latest incidents to have taken place?
Well, I think the most serious thing that happened really was that, you know, we've seen the these incendiary balloons reappearing, and we discussed it a little bit last week. But the strange thing that happened over the weekend was this incendiary balloon traveled 20 or 30 kilometers into Israel with an RPG attached to it, a rocket-propelled grenade attached to the bottom of an incendiary balloon. So whereas before, the balloons had just sort of burning flame at the bottom in the hope that it would just ignite a fire on the other side of the Israeli border. And of course, those fires doing a lot of damage. And we've seen in places like Australia how damaging fires can really be when they get out of control. But here we've got actually an RPG attached to a balloon, which is a very, very serious incident, because those balloons can land anywhere, right? There's absolutely no guidance system on it. It's just throw it into the
sort
air.
Sort of chaos waiting to happen.
Exactly. Just, you know, play your luck and see how it goes. In Hebrew, we call it shitat matzliach. You know, just try your luck and see what happens. And this grenade fortunately didn't do any damage or injury, but could easily have done so because it landed not far from a residential area. And if that had just landed or crashed into a house or something and exploded, that could really have done a huge amount of damage. So, of course, the Israeli authorities were very unhappy about that and responded with attacks across the Gaza Strip, focused at Hamas targets. Of course, there was the retaliation that came yesterday in the form of a single rocket that was fired from Gaza into Israel. It landed in an open area. Fortunately, there was no damage, no injury. And in fact, there is a new system now with the code red sirens, that there is no code red siren when The rockets are due to fall in open areas, and only notification is sent out by SMSs to notify people of this. So a slightly new system. But of course, the Israeli authorities once again responding to that rocket fire. So certainly an increase in tensions. And I'm not sure to what extent it might be linked to these meetings in Washington where, you know, the Palestinians.
We have seen this. We have seen this before. The minute there's a talk of peace, that that these things start to happen again. So it's not really not,
absolutely,
it shouldn't really be much of a surprise.
Nothing new.
No. It is 8 o'clock,
anyway,
Anthony Wright.
There you go.
Yep, this is where we love and leave you. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning.